This is the Paid Search Podcast, and you are about to be overwhelmed with information. That's my guarantee for the next 40 minutes or so. I promise you, you're about to learn a lot about Google Ads. My name is Chris Schaefer, and I've been doing Google Ads for over 20 years now. It is my full-time job, and I produce this podcast every single week to help you understand Google Ads. I answer questions from listeners. I continue to push out updates about how to get more from your Google Ads campaign, whether you are a lonely business owner out there trying to get more out of your Google Ads, or you are trying to get into the Google Ads industry to start a career. Either way, whoever you are, you're going to learn about Google Ads. You're going to better yourself. So buckle up. Let's jump in. And I have some questions from listeners at the top of the show. And then at the bottom of the show, I am going to discuss the topic of the week, which is the principle of Google Ad number 7, metrics of success. This is an ongoing discussion that I have. If you have not heard the previous 6 principles of Google Ads, you can find them linked directly in the description. You can listen in on those. Of course, they will also be in your feed. You just use your finger and scroll back a little bit and you'll find them. I don't hide them. They are slowly going to build upon each other, but don't worry if you haven't heard them. This discussion, as all my discussions, don't assume that you know a certain level of knowledge. They can always be started from this point, and then you can build from there. So without further ado, let's jump in. I want to tell you about the reason I can do this podcast, and that is Opteo.com/PSP. I was just talking to someone the other day that was new to the show. They were listening. They were excited about all the information they were getting, and they said, Chris, I also signed up for Opteo. And, you know, if you haven't joined the bandwagon and you're listening to this show, you're on episode 395. You've been listening in for the equivalent of over a year straight of information, hundreds and hundreds of hours of information represented in this podcast, and you haven't tried Opteo yet, you're in the minority. You are missing out on the greatest Google Ads management software, period. It helps you to make better decisions and make them faster every single day in either one account or 100 accounts. Doesn't matter. It scales to your needs. It doesn't assume that you know a intimate, detailed level of knowledge about Google Ads. It can speak to the beginner and it can speak to the expert. It provides detailed information about critical changes that you might not be aware that could improve your Google Ads, from negative keywords to bidding strategies to ad schedule to device changes to specific keywords that need to be paused or added or removed. This is critical information that you may glance over. You may never see it. So that's why I highly suggest that you get a 2-month free trial of the greatest Google Ads management software out there. It is opteo.com/PSP. The link is in the description of wherever you are listening or watching. And you'll love it. 2 months for free at opteo.com/PSP. By the way, I always say listening or watching. You can always watch the show on YouTube. The link, if you are on an audio podcast, is always in there. You can listen or watch. It's up to you. I find most people prefer to listen, but you can subscribe on YouTube. I do check the comments there and respond to people, or you can go and speak to me directly at paidsearchpodcast.com. That's my website where you can find all the episodes and information about me and Opteo and everything like that. Or you can just email me directly. Email me a question at paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. And you can be like our two friends that we're going to chat with today. Our first friend is Mario from New Jersey, who starts off his email in my favorite way. With straightforward telling me he's been a listener for a long time, right? That's what I need to know. I need to know that you are that you are committed. And I love to hear that. And that's what he says. So Mario says, good morning, Chris. Oh, good morning. This is my first question submitted, although I've been a podcast subscriber for a long time. Well, thank you. It's what I like to hear. Glad that I continue to provide good information for you all these years. For service-based businesses that work with both residential and commercial clients, but only want to reach commercial prospects with ads, do you suggest leaving out general keywords like cleaning business near me? Phrase match. I'm considering turning off the more generic cleaning keywords and sticking to things like phrase match, janitor cleaning, office cleaning, professional cleaning, which signal commercial work, but I'm worried I lose out on business clients who are haphazardly typing in cleaning businesses near me instead of something more commercial specific. Do you think I should turn off general keywords, especially since my spending is quite low? He says, okay, I'm glad you threw that in at the very end, Mario, because that absolutely makes a difference in my answer. If you are working with tens of thousands of dollars and you can absorb traffic that is not exactly what you want, and you have a way to deal with leads that may not be qualified, then sure, you can keep general traffic in. But you can't just gather traffic and throw 70% of it out and not take those leads and either sell them to someone else or do something. You have to do something with these leads. And I don't think, even if you're spending tens of thousands, that anyone can afford to do this for very long. Because I often find that residential to commercial searches are usually a 10-to-1 ratio. You get one commercial for every 10 residential searches out there. So if you have general keywords like this and you're not utilizing them in any way, and you're not interested in utilizing them, you don't want to pay for them in any way, it's not somewhere you want to grow, or it's not worth spending the money for some reason, then the answer is absolutely not. You should not have keywords like cleaning business near me. While it may provide both residential and commercial traffic for you, with the rule of 10-to-1, you're wasting 10 times what you could be putting into commercial only. Now, that rule also bites the other way. If it's 10-to-1, that means that you're going to be spending and getting a lot less if you only use terms like janitor cleaning, office cleaning, professional cleaning. Although, keep in mind, professional cleaning is still a bit broad. Not really specific enough, but I understand what you're going for. But if you only go after commercial, you must understand that it will be more expensive. Anytime that there is a limited amount of traffic, a limited number of searches, it immediately means the competition is up. And when I say competition goes up, that means, in PPC speak, that means your cost per click goes up. That means more advertisers are crowding into a smaller room and the shouting gets louder. It gets more aggressive. The CPCs go up. The cost per click goes up. So you're going to spend faster. So instead of paying $3 a click, you might pay $9 a click suddenly. Instead of $9 a click, you might pay $20 a click in order to get that business-focused traffic for your cleaning business. So the fact is, if you want to be efficient with what you're doing, Mario, absolutely do not use general keywords. And you must be very meticulous about the kind of search terms that you're getting, filtering out these residential terms, but start a little bit broader, because we know it's a 10-to-1 ratio. Start a little broader and then start to narrow. Don't start narrow and then try and add more. That's going to be a very frustrating process. Start a little more broad. Just like you said, phrase match, janitor cleaning. Phrase match, office cleaning. I don't suggest that you start with exact. You jump into this knowing that you're going to miss the mark some. Figure out where those are coming from. Stop those from happening with negative keywords, bid adjustments. You know, make sure your ad copy is very clear that you are business focused. Also choose ad schedules that are 5 days a week during business hours. Perhaps you don't show up at all on mobile and you only show up on desktop. I mean, these are ways to really zero in on what matters to you and not wasting money on things that don't. So good luck there, and I hope that saves you a ton of money, because you're definitely going to waste a lot if you go after general traffic like that and you have a very specific audience. Okay, I actually have another question. I usually do only one, but that one didn't take up as much time, so I had another one waiting in the wings here. So I'm going to take another question from Eric. Eric, again, starts off his question, as anyone would love, just praise and worship towards my amazing abilities that I provide. So I'm gonna include that because Eric wrote it. It hurts for me to just say all this, but no, I'm kidding. It doesn't. It helps. Thank you for your wonderful podcast, Chris, and giving out so much priceless information to help us all on our PPC journeys. Well, thank you, Eric. I'll let my wife know how much I am respected and loved. I have a question regarding making changes to live landing pages. If you have a landing page that is live and running on Google Ads and see things on it that you wish to change, would you suggest making the change to the landing page that is currently running on Google Ads, or making a separate version of that landing page and then doing an experiment based on the changes that you made? And a follow-up question, what kind of negative impact could you see happening from making changes to a landing page that is already live and approved on Google Ads? You're the best, from Eric. Okay, Eric, thank you. So to get straight to the answer, I do not think that you need to run an experiment every time you change something on a landing page. In general, I do not think that's the case. I think it is perfectly fine to make a change and run it on that current one in general. Now, I'm basing that on the language that you used in your email to say, you know, regarding making changes, because you didn't say overhaul, you didn't say rework, you didn't say, you know, redesign. You said make change. So I'm considering making a change to a landing page to be something akin to changing the headlines, changing some of the pictures, maybe changing other minor things. I'm not considering this to be swapping out an entire format. You know, you might be going from a custom page, you know, that's on Wix, and now you're moving to a custom page on WordPress, and it's a completely different theme, colors are different, messaging's different tone of call to action, you're speaking a different language, and that, you know, maybe it's a different type of person you're speaking to in this, it's you know, it's a much more high level kind of language. These are massive changes. These types of things with the tone of your messaging, the color, what kind of call to action it is, all of this can make a huge difference. This is not what I would consider to be a change. This would be an overhaul, redesign, rework of what you have. That would require an experiment, I think. But smaller changes do not. And I think the reason I like this question is because it really demands an answer to, you know, well, what is a big change? What are the areas of a landing page that you may not have considered that could be impactful and what isn't? Let's go through a couple of examples. So as I said, headlines could be a minor thing. You change something from call now to contact us or vice versa. You know, these small minor changes, or adding in another picture or something like that. Okay, something that I would consider to be a big change is a time-sensitive call to action, right? Offer expires in 7 days. or the event is at this time. Register now so you don't miss your chance to go to this event. These time-restricted call to actions would be very different from just a general contact us now to book your appointment, right? This is a very different tone. It may get a better or worse response. Other things that could be very different is, let's say, as I mentioned, the tone of your landing page. If you are speaking in a very basic language in your landing page, you're not using super industry-specific terms. Okay, so let's be specific here. Let's say that you're advertising shoes, and in one landing page, you just have soft, comfortable shoes in men and women's sizes, and you have a couple colors, right? The tone of that is very simple and addresses many different interests. But instead, maybe you have another page that mentions what the percentage of the cotton and all the other materials that go in. And then it talks about whether it's environmentally friendly or whether it's vegan safe or the where it's manufactured. If, you know, it's only U.S. made, but it was manufactured over here. That, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can be very specific. And the tone of this is much more in-depth. You're speaking in a very specific language. Another example would be if you're a doctor and if you're offering some type of chiropractor service and you're saying something like, you know, this will help you feel, regain your general health or feel better, have more mobility. That's one higher language level, but a much more granular language that would be very different, which you would want to do an A/B test on, would be mentioning specific diseases, mentioning very specific tests or before and after kind of experiences, very deep, longer tail kind of scrolling page. You know, this is a very different kind of message. These types of things I think would require an A/B test. These are the things that really get me to questioning, does this make a difference? And then one final thing I'll throw in, Eric, is this. If those of you out there that are listening to this and you think, well, that I feel like every change I make on the landing page should be an A/B test, there's a reason in general I'm saying that you shouldn't do it. And that is, most people are not at the point when they are at phase 4 of Google Ads, basically at the point of such precision and finite adjustments that they can actually see a difference in their conversion rates or their performance of their account. Many people are not at that phase 4 level. So I'm not speaking to those people. But if you are at a point whenever you are decades into a Google Ads account, and you have so refined this that you've made it a science about how you message and the kind of ad copy you use and what you show on your page and what you don't show on your page. If you are at that point, if you are a phase 4 Google Ads manager, then in that case, okay. I do think even small changes do require A/B testing, because at this point, you're driving down the highway at hundreds of miles per hour, and big changes could cause an absolute wreck. But if you're new, you still are trying to get into phase 2, still trying to get success out of your account in some way or another, okay, now you can make bigger, you can make big left-hand turns, right-hand turns without incurring a whole lot of damage, because you don't have a whole lot of control yet. You're not moving at 100 miles an hour, you're creeping along at, you know, 5, 10 miles an hour here. So wanted to split the apples from the oranges here, because everybody's at different levels, and I think that really does make a difference. Quick reminder before I move into the topic of the week, which is the metrics of success. I want to remind you to try out Optio.com, Optio.com/PSP, Optio.com/PSP for the world's best Google Ads management software Try it for free for 2 months. You're going to like it. Everyone else does. All right. Topical discussion of the week is I'm bringing back, I'm very glad, my first, I believe it's my first foundation of Google Ads, excuse me, the principles of Google Ads. It's principles of Google Ads number 7. This one I'm calling Metrics of Success. And the subtitle to this is how to pair key metrics together to better understand your campaign. So you're pairing metrics together. And so I want to make a pretty bold statement here. I say that no single metric can independently verify the success of a Google Ads campaign. No single metric can be used to measure whether a campaign is successful or not. I am absolutely certain about that. So much so that I will give you examples and hopefully change your mind if you disagree with that. By the end of this, I think you'll change your mind if you say, oh, absolutely, that's ridiculous. Of course I can look at my ROAS and know whether I'm successful or not. Of course I can look at my cost per conversion and know if I'm successful or not. Of course I can look at my click-through rate and know if I'm successful or not. And my answer is, by themselves, these metrics separately cannot give you that information. Google Ads is too big of a picture for you to look at independent metrics and know that you are successful in this area or this area, or just whether it's a good or bad thing about this. So let's go with it. So here we go. How to pair your key metrics in Google Ads to understand your campaign. And just as a quick side note, I said I always speak to the beginner and the advanced user in Google Ads. Metrics are what you see on your screen whenever you are reviewing your Google Ads. A metric is the number of clicks that you got. A metric is the number of impressions that you got. A metric is the click-through rate percentage for the past week. And metrics can go all the way down to the keyword level. They have metrics for campaigns, ad groups, and keywords, and ads, and everything. Everything has metrics because that's how you read the dashboard. That's how you read the screen to understand what did you get. You got 1,000 impressions and 4 clicks. Those are metrics. But how do you know which one to look at? How do you know if there is one single metric that matters the most? And the discussion here is that it doesn't. There is no single metric that is most important. The best way, if you want to make an educated decision about your Google Ads, you must pair metrics together. So let's go through them. First, in the room, I'm going to speak to lead generation campaigns. So lead generation, people who are trying to get people to call them, so that they can get a quote for plumbing service, call them so that they can, you know, get a home redesign or a remodeling, home remodeling quote, lead generation, right? Trying to generate leads for your company. In this case, you might think cost per conversion is the only metric that would matter. If I'm generating leads at $50 a lead or $500 a lead, I would know $500 is not affordable to me. $50 is. Therefore, I am successful in my campaign. Well, I say that that's not true, because there is another factor that can absolutely obliterate the significance of that cost per conversion. And that factor is the quality of the lead. So I say a proper pairing of cost per conversion and search terms are what you need as a lead generation company, lead generation campaign, to know if you are successful or not. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. So if you have a, let's say, a $50 cost per conversion, and this is a, you've never had such a good cost per conversion, and you think your campaign is absolutely solid. That's what the Google Ads screen tells you that you have a record. You know, it shows you this graph, and it shows, you know, how good it is, and, you know, it's very good, and all the, your optimization score is really high, and you think, well, this is amazing. But maybe you don't see it in your books. Maybe your business books, your bookkeeping, whatever you use to determine, you know, the real health of the campaign or that you're a company, maybe it doesn't look that clean. Maybe it's not as good as last year or last month, but Google Ads says it's better than it's ever been. Well, how can you test that? Well, you use search terms. So search terms you can look at, and in this situation, the search terms may show you that the people who are doing searches for your keywords are searching your company name. This could be resulting in a person doing a search for ABC Plumber. That's your company, ABC Plumber. And they're converting because they're just typing your company name and then just calling you, and that results in 100% conversion rate. And out of 10 conversions in the past week, 8 of them have all been your company name, and only 2 of them have been non-company name searches, like hire a plumber near me or something like that. So what does that mean? That means you have spent all of your money acquiring customers that already existed. They already knew about you. They may just be asking about, hey, my plumber isn't here yet. He said he would be here at 2 p.m. and he's not here. Right? These are expenses you have paid to gather absolutely nothing. So your cost per conversion in this case means nothing. Now let's go to the other side of things. If you have a $500 cost per conversion, you think that is absolutely crazy. I've never had such a high cost per conversion. And then you go in and you realize, wow, these are massive new home plumbing jobs that I've been getting. And your cost per conversion is much, much more expensive, but you realize the quality of the leads that you've been getting is completely different. These leads lead to tens of thousands of dollars in jobs, whereas you're not just cleaning out a sink here. So a $50 cost per conversion in this instance is an absolute waste, and the person's going to go out of business because they're not generating, they're eating their own tail. They're not generating anything new. The $500 cost per conversion is generating a lot less conversions, but these are highly profitable. The quality of these leads are much, much better. So therefore, cost per conversion by itself does not give the full picture. You must know the context of these leads coming in. So pairing cost per conversion and search terms is what is critically important. So now let's speak to the other half of the room. E-commerce, people that are selling a product online. You are not necessarily interested in cost per conversion. You instead are interested in conversion value over cost. Conversion value over cost is ROAS, return on ad spend. That's what Google calls it. Conversion value over cost. That alone cannot tell you the truth. And you say, well, that's ridiculous because that tells me how much I'm making per dollar that I spend. If I have a 3.5 conversion value over cost, then I know that I'm making $3.50 for every dollar that I spend. Well, while that is true, it is not the full picture because you also need to understand your search lost impression share due to rank. Because even a profitable campaign might be overbidding, and a 3.5 ROAS could potentially be a 6.5 ROAS. You could potentially double or more your profitability if you understand that you are overbidding. So here's an example. Let's say you have an account that is a 3x ROAS, that is conversion value over cost, 300% profit. Yet if I go to my search lost IS rank metrics and see a 5% in that column, I am bidding so aggressively that it's eating into my profits. So if I lower my bids, if I ease off on the bidding aggressiveness of this campaign, that 3.5 could become 6.5 and 8.5 just by backing off of the bids. I can still maintain the same conversion percentage that I get, but suddenly because I'm not paying $6 a click, now I'm only paying $2 a click. My profits, what do? They go up. They go up like crazy. Because there is a relationship between profitability and how aggressive you're bidding. So you might be highly unprofitable. You might have a 0.5 ROAS. And if you look over and see a search lost IS rank of 5%, if you just back off of those bids, you might find that you can bring your profitability up to a 3x return, which is sustainable for you. So there again, both camps, and that pretty much covers everyone, lead generation and e-commerce, you're going to be in one of those two camps. Either you're trying to get people to buy from you by pitching them something, a service, or you're selling them something directly online that they can just buy. And maybe you even do both. Either way, conversion value over cost or cost per conversion, those numbers do not paint the full picture. You must understand that. Let's move on to a couple more examples of pairing of two different key metrics to better understand your campaign. Another one is average cost per click and search lost IS rank. So let's get off of the conversion idea. Let's say, Chris, I wish I had conversions. I don't even have conversion tracking. I wish I could have it. Well, let's talk to those people. If you have a very high CPC and a very low search impression share loss due to rank, that's lost IS rank, that means you're bidding too high. You could be. You may be bidding too high. So you may not know what your profits are, but if you have an average CPC that is $5 and your search loss due to rank is 15%, 20%, something like that, you don't have to bid that much. You can back off and still spend your full budget and pay less per click. So even if you don't know what your conversions are, you can pace your Google Ads system, your Google Ads bidding system, to make those clicks more affordable. You don't have to pay $5 a click, $10 a click. You might be able to get away with paying $2 a click. And what does that do? That makes your click volume skyrocket. If I go from paying $10 a click to $5 a click and keep my budget the same, what does that mean for clicks? They just doubled. I just doubled my clicks because I'm getting half off on my price of clicks. Right? Everybody loves a sale. Imagine I told you Google's offering you a 50% off sale on clicks. All you have to do is lower your bids and you're going to pay half the click. That's not true for everyone, but if you have a very low search lost IS rank metric, that opportunity is available to you. Another one, click-through rate and impression absolute top percentage. If you have a very, very high click-through rate, you might think, I am killing it. I am doing amazing. Because look, I have a 40% click-through rate. So that's how I base the success of my campaign, is on my click-through rate. Well, click-through rate can be engineered. Click-through rate can be manipulated. One of the easiest ways that I see that happen all the time is just being in first position. So you must understand that a very high click-through rate is directly related to your impression absolute top percentage. So I am highly suspicious when I see two of these things happening at the same time. This is a red flag for me. If I see a 30% click-through rate, in an absolute top percentage of 70%, something like that, very high, above 50 typically, I'm highly suspicious about what is going on here. I mean, extremely high positions, very high click-through rate. Getting traffic is not this easy, right? This better be a highly tweaked campaign to be able to boast of such high click-through rate numbers. And that's really suspicious. Why would you be wanting 30% of the people to be clicking on the ad? Are you that good at writing ad copy, or you're just bidding so high and you're bringing in clicks and many of them are unqualified and you're wasting money? I mean, that is a high concern for you. And on the other hand, maybe you have a very low click-through rate and you wonder, why do I have such a low click-through rate? Well, part of that, to understand that click-through rate by itself, you need to look at your impression top percentage, not your absolute top, but your impression top percentage. So what does this look like? This looks like basically you are reviewing how often your ad is even really visible to Google Ads. Because if you're below 50% on your impression top percentage, you are now only showing above organic, where most people are never even going to see your ad if you're below organic. You're showing most of your ads below a spot that people are never going to scroll to. Most people are not going to scroll past that first page and get down towards the bottom. So that's why your click-through rate might be very, very low. So you might assume that you're doing things wrong. I'm doing horribly. Why is my click-through rate so low? Well, it has direct influence on the position of the ads. Okay, here's another. Last one. Here's another example of pairing two metrics together to get a better picture, a better understanding of your Google Ads. And that is conversion rate and your click-through rate. If I ever see a very high click-through rate and a very low conversion rate, or a very low conversion rate and a very high click-through rate, if I see a unnatural pairing between these two, this is a red flag to me. This is something that would tell me I need to look at relevancy between keywords, search terms, and landing page, and maybe even ad copy. Basically, the four things that all mix together, the keyword, the search term, the ad copy, and the landing page. Are these all similar? Are they all speaking the same language? The people that are coming through the site, coming through the ads, and they land on the website, are they surprised by what they read on the website? Is it the wrong product than they were expecting? Are they searching for something different than what they land on? Therefore, the conversion rate would be very, very high, and the click-through rate might be very the conversion rate might be very, very low, and the click-through rate might be very, very high. You might be saying, hey, we have the best services out there. Hire us now. We do great. And that's what your ad copy says. Very generic, bland, high promises, high profile, best, 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 most amazing, cheapest out there. And your search terms might be something completely off base of what you're actually offering. Maybe the person's searching for car insurance and you're actually offering a service that's completely different. So because your ad is bragging and very, very generic and very grandiose in its language, it might be generating a very high click-through rate, very simple language, high click-through rate, because people just insta-click, right? They click on it and they land on the page, and what happens? They don't convert. They immediately hit the back button. So that would be a situation where you have a very high click-through rate and a very low conversion rate. The other, let's flip them around, a very low click-through rate and a very high conversion rate would indicate that you're really not communicating very well what it is that you provide, what it is that you want people to know about why you're special, Or maybe you're, as we discussed before, maybe your positions are so low, when you do get people to your site, they convert at a very high rate. So there's opportunity here. There's a lot of opportunity. And this all stems, all of these discussions that I've laid out, they all stem from the pairing of your two metrics. So to say again, for those lead gen people, cost per conversion, comparing that to your search terms. The whole idea is compare the quality of the leads you're bringing in. For you e-commerce people out there, look at your ROAS, your conversion value over cost number, your profit number, and compare that to your search lost IS rank. Maybe you're overbidding. Maybe you're underbidding. Maybe there's some difference you can really make in that number by adjusting your Google Ads engine, your bidding system. For those that don't have conversions in any way and you don't really even know your pacing and how, you know, where should I even be, look at your average cost per click and your search impression share loss due to rank. You might be bidding too high, too low. Click-through rate and impression absolute top can help you understand why your click-through rate might be too low, too high. And then last, your conversion rate and your click-through rate. If there's a discrepancy there, if there's massive difference between the two, are you delivering relevancy from point A all the way to landing page? If not, that could be off. So the principle here, as I think can be best explained through examples, is that no single metric stands alone. You can never have a single metric stand alone because it never tells the full picture. You always make decisions based on data that's beyond just one number. You always make decisions based on multiple factors. So I hope that helps you make better decisions in Google Ads and inspires you to look at your campaigns in a new way with these new pairings that I've mentioned. And if you'd like to have a deeper conversation about it, you can find me at chrisschaefer.com. Link is in the description as always. If not, leave a thumbs up or a positive review, 5 stars, wherever you're listening. I highly appreciate that because it helps me to show my advertiser that I'm a great podcast to continue to invest in. And that really does matter because I need to be able to keep this podcast rolling. So thank you so much for being here. I will catch you next week.